The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on the 17th day of June, 2024. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance after all these years. And this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week, folks. And so right out of the chute, I'm going to tell you, we need to hear from you. Give us a call at 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Again, 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. We have a pledge from Lisa, $125, and Wendy for $1,078. Thank you, thank you. All right, all the way back there in the back room there on the telephones in the phone booth, we have Pastor's Mighty Men, Randy, Eric, and Aaron, live here in the studio. We have Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
We have Dennis Stossel.
Thank you. Also, very glad to be here.
You got to pull the mic over closer to you. Yep.
How about that?
Yep. Within 4 inches. Okay. And then go ahead, cackle. Go on, cackle. Oh. We have little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty. There you go. Now, get over there. Get out on that phone. There you go. That's
Oops.
And we have a lot to do. We really have a lot to do to get. Now, I forgot somebody. Who would I forget? Way out yonder, in the Back Hills, not the Black Hills, the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Well, you had it partially right. I was born in the Black Hills, but now I'm in the Back Hills. I'm the man with the face for radio.
I remember that when they threw you out of the Black Hills.
It was quite a scene.
Anyway,
I guess it's a pledge, but I made a donation of $200 on the website this afternoon.
Then that's a pledge.
Would challenge some people to do likewise.
Put him on the board so we know. Okay. All right, we have to. I'm going to have to start right off the bat by giving a very, very serious announcement. Right now, where'd that paper go? I was just given the amount. $52,128 due by to stay on all the stations we're on by 6/26. That's about 10 days from now. We need. So I've got to raise $52,128, folks. We can do it with your help out there. We need all the help we can get, especially now because of all that is taking place out there. But we're going to get to all that's taking place out there as we head in towards this hot summer. But first, you know what? What we have tonight, we have two things. Richard Lewis, tell us about your books. We have for donations of $50 for either one, $50, a donation of $50. Tell them about them.
Okay. The book is The Wedding Planner and Counseling. it's actually like a supplement to God's Design for Marriage. If you remember last month, I had donated those books to pastors' ministry here, and I'm donating another 24 of these books to pastor. And it's a wedding planner and counseling, and it's a smaller book. It's a little less than 100 pages. But the idea of this is actually threefold. One is if someone's doing counseling on a prospective couple to be married, there's a check sheet on pages 5 and 6 that they can go through and go through each of the categories. There's 9 sections in the book. It's also designed for if a couple would like to just sit down, if they're planning to get married, and go through this by themselves and be able to go through the sections and talk about them to each other and get what they have. In the book, we have the marriage vows described again, similar to what I have in the God's Design for Marriage book, but it goes through all the marriage vows. Also in the back section, if you're getting married with just a covenant agreement and not a license, it shows you how to file in your particular county that covenant agreement with the county recorders and be able to be a lawful and legal document. And it has a copy of an affidavit that you can use to give you an idea what you need to cover. One of the other sections in the book is called Topics That Should Be Discussed Before Planning to Marry. And in that is a number of ideas that people should talk about before they're planning to marry. Different things like birth control, breastfeeding, how they're going to train their children, Bible studies, homeschooling, private schooling, public schooling. All of these things need to be talked about long before you get married. What you prefer, country or city living, camping or hoteling, seclusion or crowds, parties or quietness, all these areas. And there's not a right answer. It just depends on the couple. But the thing is, these things need to be discussed long before you plan to be married. So that if some of these are large issues and you can't agree, then you're going to have problems with the marriage, and there's no sense in going into a marriage on these. Also, this list can be used for children, say 12 to 14 years old, to start talking to them about, as you get older and you're going to be interested in marriage, these are some of the topics that you need to consider when you're going to look for a spouse. And children will listen to this. Once their hormones go crazy and they get deciding that they want to get married, they're not going to listen to all of these a lot of times. But before that, a lot of times children will sit down and listen with their parents, and you can give them ideas to think about and talk about and consider before they get married. So this wedding planner and counseling book is available if you call in and give a contribution of $50 or more. Also, along with it, I'm told that there's 4 of God's Design for Marriage books left. So if someone did not get one last month and still wants one, again, it's a $50 contribution or more, and you request the God's Design for Marriage book. It's available. There's 4 available. Let me just say that. And then this wedding planning and counseling book, again, much smaller than the other book, but that's available too for a contribution of $50 or more. So I have donated these to pastor's ministry here so that he can get some contributions and stay on the air. It's so important to be able to get these messages out.
All right, very good. Did I introduce our board op, Kenny? Boy,
good evening, Pastor.
All right.
It's okay. We got a full house today. Easy to overlook.
I know. Right. Absolutely. Okay. All right. The title of the message is Go ahead, Joe.
Duties of fathers toward families.
Duties of the fathers towards the families. And we're going to start tonight in Genesis chapter 2. Now, first of all, the definition of a father. The definition of a father. Now, this is deep for, like, the left. This is the same thing about, like, knowing what a woman is. It's hard for them. It's a little more than they've been taught. But the definition of a father, Richard, is a male parent.
Wow.
Okay, there you go. That's deep, I'm telling you.
Boy, oh boy, you really need to know the scriptures to figure that out.
Nowadays, all right.
What a parent is. See, it's not a friend. It's not your buddy. It's your parent. There's, you know, words have meanings, and we've forgotten that in this world.
Yeah, I know that. So here, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. So Joe, go ahead and read verses 21 through 25.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
All right, let's go back to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. So that really had to be a deep sleep, right?
Yeah, no. Definitely. You and I have both had a lot of surgeries, and that taking out a rib would be a major thing, wouldn't it?
And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Now, here, all men, every man that's ever been born, came out of a woman. Every single man came. Now, this is the first, and this is the only case, the first case, and the only case that a woman has come out of a man.
Right.
And so here, and Adam said, now this is the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, but she shall be called a woman. Actually, the word woe means underneath.
From woman, yeah. From man. Yeah.
Because she was taken out of man.
Right.
Therefore shall a man leave his father. Well, one of the definitions of that is actually under man, under man.
Under, okay.
Yeah. And therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Well, now, at this point, remember, Adam and Eve were the only people there. So,
well, God programmed Adam with a lot of knowledge. He came equipped with knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And this would have been part of the knowledge that God gave Adam. Otherwise, he would have had no idea about this happening. He would have gotten this new wife, and he would have been a little confused.
Yep.
He might have had some idea, but... You know, just remember, it was something that had never happened before in the whole universe. So, yeah.
Also, the protective cage of Adam's heart, the ribs, was where a woman came from.
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating?
Well, here, the divine institution, what we're talking about here, the family, where it says, and they shall become one flesh. They shall be one flesh. That is when the sperm of the man fertilizes the egg of the woman. It creates a new person, an individual, separate individual person. And then he says,
we talked about that brilliant flash of light that happens at that moment of conception. And we know what light means in Scripture, right?
Right. So, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Well, here, they had not yet sinned. They had not yet sinned. Therefore, they were still innocent.
Innocent.
And the shameless, to be shameless here, it was in a good way, to be shameless in a good way. And so today, we have people that out there on those beaches today. The women are almost naked, and that's shameless, and that's not in a good way, is it?
No. Well, you look at some of the new fashions that the Hollywood stars have been wearing. They've been showing bare breasts, and some have even showing private parts through some very thin nylon, see-through stuff. So it's gotten to be almost walking around naked.
There's a couple of incidents this year where they had painted bathing suits. So really everything was exposed.
Jet holes on them. Yeah.
They paint the bathing suit on them. Okay. All right.
Well, there was one suit where they painted a vaginal area on the outside of the suit, too. They're doing everything.
Well, all right. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we start with verse 22. Okay, read 22 through 24, Joe.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Okay, so here now, we see that the Bible instructs the women to reverence their husband, to be submissive to their husband, and it instructs the men to love their wives. Now, in one place, the older women instruct the younger women to be obedient to their husbands and to love them. But the apostles here instruct, we say for the most part, the men are instructed to love and the women are instructed to be obedient too. We saw what feminism has done. Feminine has caused so much trouble in this country today. And I was talking to a lady today, and but she didn't even know, actually understand the definition of feminism, because she was pro-life, she believed in God, she believed, and she told me that she believed to be in submissive to her husband, and then she said she was a feminist. Now, how in the world could... Because those are all characteristics in reverse of what feminism is today, okay?
Right, what the world's definition of a feminist is. Yeah, she was thinking in terms of a godly female, you know, probably.
Yeah. And so here again, in fact, when I told her, I said, did you know that rebellion is the same as witchcraft? The Bible teaches the rebellion is the same as witchcraft. She's... So, no, I didn't know that, okay? All right, read 25 all the way through 33, Joe.
Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a pretty powerful love.
Yeah, it is.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be made one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you particularly so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Go to there, go all the way to four.
No, so here, when we talk about husbands, love your wives, again, and wives, obey your husbands. If we know how to do that today in this country, okay, just think of how different things would be. Now, I remember a time, there never was a time when it was perfect, but I remember a time growing up when that happened, when women pretty much they obeyed their husbands, you know, for the most part. I mean, it's never been perfect. But today it's like you have all of these things like open marriages and what do you call it, cuckolds, and these things that are happening out there today. And it all stems from
foursomes, all kinds of things.
And here's where it stems from. It stems right from judgment begins in the house of the Lord, in the house of God, and it begins in that pulpit. It stems from the fact that the pastors, they preach what fills the offering plate instead of what they're supposed to preach. They're afraid. So many of them, I've heard Joe Osteen talks about he never preaches again on sin because he'd rather preach messages that people want to hear.
Yeah,
feel good.
Pastors are supposed to preach what people need to hear. If they were preaching what they need to hear instead of what they wanted to hear, we wouldn't have this situation.
Pungent preaching is what we need, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, like in verse 29 about hating your own flesh, men don't go around beating on their own bodies or cutting their own bodies or, you know, but yet some of these men think it's okay nowadays to beat their wives or to, you know, be cruel physically. But you read this, this is where the pastors have to make sure that they understand what God is saying here. Love their wives as much as they love themselves, and they would not do anything to their wife that they wouldn't want done to them. You know, that do unto others. I wouldn't do anything to my wife that I wouldn't want done to me. So there's no way I would want to cause pain because I don't want to receive pain. And this is not the kind of thing you don't hear it taught anymore. You don't hear sermons on it. People talking about it, it's kind of, oh, just women obey your husband. And that's not quite the way it means in there. The man is supposed to also cherish his wife and think extremely high of her and be willing to give up his life to protect her and take care of her. That's not the way most people see marriage these days, is it?
No, it's not. And that's what my wife and I, we've been married 56 years. And that's one of the reasons why. Okay, we understand what the Word of God, and we believe what the Word of God. And you know what? If you hold to God's Word, things are always so much better.
They're Amen.
Always so much better. Go ahead, read verses 1-4.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Well, you know, words can tear a child apart, just words.
Sure can.
And I remember a father one time telling his daughter had gotten off into Satanism, gotten off into drugs, and she was a young woman, and promiscuous, and he had lost his patience with her, totally lost his patience with her. And he says, there's nothing good about you, nothing. Everything about you is dirty and it's corrupt, okay? And just tore that girl apart, okay? But I ended up doing some counseling within the family, and we brought them back to, and today the father and daughter have a good relationship today. But that just tears a child apart, okay? So you can't, yeah. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, okay?
Can I back up? Because that first verse is something I've had run into people having trouble with. Obey your parents in the Lord. If your parents are in the Lord and are being godly parents, yes, you are to obey them. It doesn't mean if you've got a parent that's gone off the deep end smoking crack and wants to do violent things, sexually abuse or something else, you don't have to obey that kind of parent.
Right.
You are to obey those who are what? In the Lord. And that part seems to get left out of most sermons or Bible studies. And I don't think it's...
Alrighty, now Bill in Boston pledges 100. Mark in New York pledges 150. Tony in Toronto pledges 125. And Denizio in New York pledges 20. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll be right back after this.
And I won't ever let you down. But you should have a fear of me.
Michael Jackson and Johnny Cash.
I don't know. Oh, well, all right. Johnny Cash, yes, I'd go along with that.
Hey, come on, we have to live with this guy. Let's.
All right, we'll do the Johnny Cash.
Got the man in white.
8-8-6-7-7. What'd you say?
I said you're the man in white.
The man in white, yeah. 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. The phone lines are open, and we need to hear from you so you can continue to hear from us. All right, this is good news. This is good news. Jack Smith's unlawful appointment could shred his Trump prosecution. We've been waiting and waiting for this, folks. And this is an article out of the World News Daily by Caitlin Richardson. And the constitutionality of the special counsel, Jack Smith's appointment, will be put to the test next week during a hearing before U.S. District Court Judge Aline Cannon. Cannon, who already indefinitely postponed former President Donald Trump's classified documents trial in May, will hear arguments June 21st. That's this week. I think that's Friday. And on whether the entire case should be dismissed based on Smith's allegedly unlawful appointment, Trump's attorneys argue Smith is a private citizen, neither nominated by the president nor confirmed by the Senate at the time of his November 2022 appointment by Attorney General Merrick Garland, lacks the authority to even bring charges to begin with. Trump faces 41 felony counts in the Florida case. He was initially indicted last June on charges relating to his handling of classified documents. We know how bogus the entire thing was, completely bogus, folks. He goes on to say, Should Judge Cannon dismiss charges against Trump due to Jack Smith's unlawful appointment, the appointment clause does not permit the Attorney General to appoint without Senate confirmation a private citizen and like-minded political ally to wield the prosecutorial power of the United States, Trump's attorneys argued in February motion, and such Jack Smith lacks the authority to prosecute this action. Smith argues history supports his appointment, noting that the Supreme Court held in its 1974 United States versus Nixon that Attorney General has the statutory authority to appoint a special prosecutor. The D.C. court recognized precisely that conclusion when holding that the acting Attorney General had the statutory authority to appoint a special counsel. Mueller, he wrote, Trump's attorneys say Smith has it all wrong. The Supreme Court's Nixon ruling characterized special prosecutors as subordinate officers whose Smith's current authority exceeds. Attorney General Garland declared that Smith's appointment was intended to promote independence with the special counsel. No, it wasn't. You know, that was a lie. It was to get an innocent man with bogus charges.
That's right.
And so they wrote, if Smith is a subordinate officer, as Nixon suggests, then these public assertions are false because Smith serves as the pleasure of the Attorney General and President Biden, who is exercising Article 11 authority to oversee the prosecution of his political rival and leading candidate in the 2024 presidential election. There you go.
Well, the big news with that, Cannon's going to allow three third parties to participate. The attorney, Gene Scherer, is filed an amicus brief on behalf of, remember, former Attorney General Ed Meese?
Oh, yeah.
Third, and Michael B. McCuskey. And along with two law professors, Gary Lawson and Stephen Calabresi, and they've all got this big amicus brief, and she's going to allow it to be part of the evidence in the hearing. That's powerful stuff.
That sure is. All right, Richard, you have an article here. Yeah. Before we go there, 888-281-1110, that's the credit card line, or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. This is Pledge Week. We really do need to hear from you, folks. We really do, if you're going to continue to hear from us. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, I want to just encourage everyone to call in. That's why I made those books available. And if you want the books, you need to request it when you call in.
Absolutely,
so please call in on those numbers. This is an interesting article. It says vegan fake meats linked with heart disease and early death. This is from the New York Post. This is not happy news for vegans. While experts extol the health and environmental benefits of a diet free from animal products, new research suggests that consumers' ultra-processed vegan food can increase the risk of heart death. Ultra-processed foods include packaged goods, drinks, cereals, and ready-to-eat products that contain colors, flavoring, and other additives. The UPFs are typical high in sugar, saturated fats, salt, and devoid of vitamins and fibers. Researchers from the University of San Paolo, the Imperial College London, asserts the diets of more than 118,000 Brits ages 40 through 69 years old. They found that a plant-based eating plan promotes overall health, heart health, but only when their diet features fresh plant-based foods such as fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and legumes. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, they'd go on. There are several. I've got two or three that back that up. All these new created meats that they're making in the lab, they're saying that the vegans were happy with those because they're supposed to be vegan-based, and they're saying those are very, very bad for you. The meat created in a test tube, don't eat it. It's not healthy. It's not good for you. And, you know,
they did one study there. We talked about that where the meat was actually tumors.
They use tumors to grow the meat. It's a part of the process. They use this tumor to make it grow, and it's sickening. You don't want to eat it, trust me.
Well, for years they have been selling chicken with it. It was all right for them to cut off the tumors off the chicken and sell the chicken, the rest of the chicken.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes you go in and see the wings with the tips cut off or and you think it's the butcher being a little lazy with their knife. It's really they're just cutting the tumor off so they can sell the rest of it.
Well,
yeah, but if they actually use a tumor to grow this test tube beef.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you don't want to. I was trying to avoid too many details. It's really rather sickening how they do it. Don't buy it.
Alrighty. Go ahead, Joe. You have an article?
Yeah, I've got a big one. A gentleman named Jonathan Fieldstein from World News Daily was talking about, he was reading some of the headlines, what was going on with Hamas. And he remembers a Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, some of you guys my age will remember, Teach Your Children. This was back in 1970, big hit. And he said, I was thinking of this when I read the article, IDF airs interrogation clips of terrorist father and son confessing to murder and rape on October 7th. And you got to remember, among those thousands of Arab terrorists who are committing all these acts, slaughter, maiming, torture, raping, sexually mutilating, you know. This Ahmad Radi did anything but teach his child well. Breaching Israel's border that day, he brought his son, Abdullah, to participate in the murderous rampage. The father and son were captured and in separate interrogations. They both confessed to murder and rape. In fact, in one case, they raped the same woman before the father executed her. You know, so here we have this man. He's transmitting the hatred that he has, that he embodies, and transferring it to his son. You see, Hamas has chosen a code to live by, and their code is the vision and the goals of that code are to destroy Israel, to slaughter all the Jews. And what a lot of people don't realize, you see, they want the Holy Land that God gave Israel back. Now, remember, originally God said all the land from what? The Nile River in Egypt, all the way up to the River Euphrates. And right now, there's a few little things like Arab nations that have part of God's land that he gave the children of Israel. And if all the Jews are dead, then the Arabs can have all that land. If the Jews survive and there is a God, they're going to lose it. People forget little facts like that. But anyway, being Father's Day, I want to remind people, like the Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, a father's legacy lives on through his children. And so we have generations of these Palestinian Arabs transmitting, the legacy of hate, of extremism. And it's continuing because that's how they're raising their children. Pastor Ernie, you and I have done stories over the years about how they've taken young children out, and when they've had assassinations, they've actually had the little children take rifles, 5, 6 years old, and help participate in the shooting of a hostage or a victim. And they're training these 3- and 4-year-old children to worship jihad, to, you know, kill the Jews. And, yeah, we've talked about movies they've got of this training, them walking around with swords and stabbing dummies and all kinds of horrible things.
Yeah, well, they actually taught those kids to chase down little puppies and cats and kill them.
Yeah, right.
And that was part of
it. That way you build this kill machine.
But But Joe, 888-677-9673. The phones have stopped ringing, folks. I'm looking at the board right here, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting to see another call. There's no calls coming in.
Let me do one line, and maybe they'll call on this.
888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. Looks like, well, a call is coming in now. Anthony in Ohio just placed 100. Thank you, Anthony. All right, folks, let me give you that number again. 888-877. How many pledges do we have for Wendy? Wendy pledged 1,000. She did over 1,000. If you can match Wendy's 1,000, we need some people matching her. 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. Dennis, you have an article there.
Pastor Ernie, let me finish the last line of that story. This is the big news. A traditional Jewish father, it's his responsibility to teach the child, his children, professions, things like how to swim, how to, you know, fish, how to do things to live well, to make a living, to protect themselves, but they are raised not to kill others. Total difference in the way two groups of fathers, and yet many in America today are siding with Hamas and how they raise their children. I thought that was a perfect story for Father's Day.
All right, very good. Dennis, you go ahead. You have an article?
Yeah, Pastor, I've got an article here. Attorney General demands halt to criticism of Biden Justice Department. Another World News Daily article. And it says, Merrick Garland, as Attorney General, the nation's chief law enforcer, is demanding a halt to the opposition to and the criticism of the political investigations that his department has launched, including those against President Donald Trump. The DOJ is involved in multiple cases against Trump, including one over Trump's possession of presidential papers, even though the same DOJ declined to file charges against Joe Biden, who was found by a special counsel to have kept without authorization classified documents of Barack Obama's administration. And the article goes on to say that Garland says that the criticism comes in the form of false claims that his department is politicizing its work to show somehow an influence that could affect the outcome of an election. Such claims are often made by those who are themselves attempting to politicize the department's work to influence the outcome of election. There's a renowned columnist, Cal Thomas, who recalled in a Times Free Press column back in 1940, the U.S. Attorney General back then was Robert H. Jackson, and he delivered a very powerful speech to Congress warning that today, in 1940, if a prosecutor can choose his cases, it follows that he can choose his defendants. Therein is the most dangerous power of the prosecutor, that he will pick the people that he thinks he should get rather than pick the cases that need to be prosecuted. With the law books filled with a great assortment of crime, a prosecutor stands a chance of finding at least a technical violation of some act on the part of almost anyone. In such a case, it is not a question of discovering the commission of a crime and then looking for the man who has committed it. It is a question of picking the man and then searching the law books or putting investigators to work to pin some offense on him. That could be seen as a summary of Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's recent case against Trump, now on appeal and challenged even further by the allegation of juror misconduct. In fact, and if you remember, Bragg campaigned for the office on the idea of getting President Donald Trump. Bragg took that business reporting misdemeanors for which the statute of limitations had expired for Donald Trump and claimed they were felonies because of some unidentified other crime on which the jurors in that case were told they didn't have to agree. He was aided by a lawyer who left an influential position at the DOJ in order to take a pay cut and to join a local prosecutor's office to prosecute Trump, revealing Garland's influence. Back to finishing that quote from Cal Thomas, who noted that Attorney General Jackson continued on to say, It is in this realm in which the prosecutor picks some person whom he dislikes or desires to embarrass or selects some group of unpopular persons and then looks for an offense that the greatest danger of abuse of prosecuting power lies. It is here that the lawful enforcement becomes personal and the real crime becomes that of being unpopular with the predominant or the governing group, being attached to the wrong political views, or being personally obnoxious to or in the way of the prosecutor himself. Multiple commentators have opined that none of the cases against Trump, federal or local, would have developed had the defendant had a name other than Trump. Garland claimed it is dangerous that the public servants are being threatened for simply doing their jobs and adhering to the principles that have long guided the Justice Department's work. Of course, it was that same Justice Department that declined to charge Hillary Clinton for essentially the same thing as Bragg alleged Donald Trump did, as her campaign funded the creation of debunked Steele dossier during the 2016 election and labeled it as legal expenses.
Okay, very good. Joyce in New Jersey pledges 30, and Carl in Ohio pledges 1,000. Thank you. Can we get some people out there to match Carl's 1,000? That would be great, folks. We definitely need to hear from you. All righty, here. Incredible nationwide hunger strike planned. Okay. A hunger strike planned by January 6th prisoners. In fact, Jake Lang just called me the other day. In fact, Saturday, I believe it was. He was telling me to get ready for this hunger strike, and it starts today. Today's the 17th, right? Okay. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That is the message the January 6th prisoners are speaking to the American people. By not opening their mouths. The American people need, folks, this is a horrible thing. It's what happened to these patriots, these Christian patriots. A massive nationwide hunger strike has been planned across 60 BOP prison facilities by several of the 250 January 6th political prisoners. These brave men and women are left with no other voice to speak to Congress after 1,250 days of stagnation and failure in receiving justice. Jake Lane posted on his ex profile the reasonable request. A new January 6th select committee be formed that it is a legitimate fact-finding committee and not propaganda machine for the left. January 6th prisoners be called to testify about their mistreatment and the two-tiered justice they have received in the court. It is. And to have Merrick Garland lie under oath, sit there and say there's absolutely no difference in the way they were treating these men, these people, the January 6ers, the pro-lifers, the homeschoolers, and the others. You didn't see these people looting and burning. You didn't see the pro-lifers. You didn't see the homeschoolers setting buildings on fire. But not only when Antifa and burn, loot, and murder, and the others do it, Kamala Harris actually was out there making sure that they got bailed out so they could go and do it some more, okay?
Breaking into stores and looting.
Right. And setting buildings on fire with people in the buildings.
Right.
And Merrick Garland refused. He refused to go after those people. He refused to prosecute them, okay? He only went after the Christian patriots. All right, very good. Jerome in California pledges 100. Thank you, Jerome. And we're going to be, we have a clip coming up on the other side, but you have an article there.
Sure. I have an article here. It says, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a lawsuit on Monday against the Department of Health and Human Services over a new rule forcing the state Medicare and health care providers to pay and perform gender translation surgeries. The new rule would strip federal funds from health care providers that refuse to perform gender assigned surgeries.
Yeah, his trial starts. Yeah, you're right. And here, this guy did it. He was a whistleblower. He told the truth. He's doing the right thing. This corrupt Mary Garland, that corrupt Department of Justice.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, it says Paxson alleged that the rule is unconstitutional in overriding state law, asking the court for injunctive relief to keep the law from being enforced, he announced at the press release Tuesday.
Wow. All right. 320,000 ghost voters identified in a must-win. Joe, did you, before I go into this article here, I saw there was an article they had, and I don't have it now. I was reading it, where they found anywhere now there in Arizona between 500,000, and they were still finding bogus votes. They found over 500,000 bogus votes there, and I guess that what's her name, the governor out there is she's in big trouble now.
Well, again, that battle's been going on in that state. They deny it, and its charges are back and forth. And I've heard two or three different stories on how many, but they have been finding all kinds of illegal votes. And that state's in a battle to try and stop the corruption, and the people in power are fighting very hard to stay in power and keep the story out of the news. It's the same kind of thing happening all across the nation. A lot of people are waking up realizing, yes, Trump was right. The election was stolen. There were a lot of bogus votes out there that should have never been counted. And some states are doing something about it. Others are the lie of omission, keeping their mouth shut and not going to put the information out.
Well, I've got some articles on that, 320,000 ghost voters identified in a must-win state of Michigan alone. But I'll get into this article later on. We're going to be coming up to a break here, and then we're going to be hearing about, when we come back, I'll introduce that, you know, this whole thing about Trump and that case in Mershon's court, all of that, the testimony. The people, they would not, the actual expert witnesses, they would not let testify. We're going to be listening to that again, showing you just how corrupt it is, just how bogus that whole thing is. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.